But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with Dems joining Republicans to hate on New York City's next mayor, move on to a serious conversation about the Democratic Party, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Ronald Grump's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Lies about bombing Iran. Let's begin, shall we? The residents of New York City just recently decided they would rather have a Muslim immigrant from Uganda who took the time to knock on their doors, listen to their problems, and then build a campaign based on their needs as a Democratic candidate for mayor, rather than another round of Andrew, you should have stayed down Cuomo. For all the reasons the phenom known as Zohran Mamdani so eloquently articulated during an episode of the New York City mayoral debate.
To put a person in this seat at this time with no experience is reckless and dangerous.
To Mr. Cuomo, I have never had to resign in disgrace. I have never cut Medicaid. I have never stolen hundreds of millions of dollars from the MTA. I have never hounded the 13 women who credibly accused me of sexual harassment. I have never sued for their gynecological records. And I have never done those things because I am not you, Mr. Cuomo. And furthermore, the name is Mamdani. M-A-M-D-A-N-I. You should learn how to say it.
That was savage. But all true, by the way. And you better not, Cuomo, stood up there alongside a bunch of other dudes who were trying to become the next Democratic candidate for mayor of New York City. Like the people living in that city don't remember who the fuck Andy is, which resulted in the biggest electoral all you assholes can fuck all the way off, except for Mamdani, in a really long time. A prediction of future electoral races that was not lost on two specific Republicans who quickly took to the disaster formerly known as Twitter to express their Islamophobic racism in the most predictable way possible.
We have two tweets that we're going to be talking about, one from Andy Ogles and one from Nancy Mace, both of which suggest, if not directly call for, the deportation of, you got it, Zohran Mamdani. But they think that the Democratic Socialist, now mayoral candidate from New York, who was not born in this country, he's an immigrant, but came to this country, should be deported, even though he's a citizen of this country.
Long term, if this continues, what is your biggest concern with folks like Ilhan Omar or Zohran Mamdani or others that are climbing the ladder and, you know, working their way up? What's your concern long term, 10, 20, 30 years on what America could look like if they continue doing this?
Yeah, well, it's the importation of these people with this ideology. And it goes beyond Ilhan Omar and AOC. It's like we're importing this ideology into our country by having the free, wide, open borders that we've had for the last 4 years.
Is it really a shocker to anyone that South Carolina's Mancy Nace, defender of the woman's bathroom, also traffics in white entitlement? Or that Pasty Ogles from Tennessee thinks singing the lyrics to a song is the same as supporting terrorists, which obviously means Mamdani lied during the naturalization process he went through and should be deported immediately. But definitely within the next 4 months, because New York's next mayoral election is November 4th, and they can't have a Muslim running for the mayor of New York City. Yeah, that's not shocking at all. But what is shocking is how quickly some Democrats came out in protest of the people of New York choosing Mamdani over the heavily funded establishment Cuomo they were supposed to choose. Like New York's very own rep, Laura, but call me Karen, Gillian, who said the quiet part on national television after the people she represents chose Mamdani.
Not surprisingly, President Trump called him, as we said earlier, a 100% communist lunatic. But Republicans can't seem to hide their glee at the possibility of Mamdani becoming the new face of the Democratic Party nationwide. That is the doomsday scenario many Democrats are hoping to avoid, including my next guest. New York Congresswoman Democrat Laura Gillen.
Look, he ran a campaign based on a bunch of promises, free everything, without any real economic plan to pay for it other than raising taxes. We are facing a cost of living crisis. It is hard for families to get by. By raising taxes, you are not lowering costs. In fact, you're just passing them on to other folks. We've already seen a mass exodus of businesses and people leaving New York State. Raising taxes will only cause more people to flee. That's wrong for New York, and we cannot have that.
Well, I didn't have a self-proclaimed Democrat spewing right-wing bullshit as her excuse for being a corporate donor shill on my 2025 bingo card, but here we are. Laura's got her rich girl pants all in a bunch because Mamdani's plan is to tax New York City residents who make a shit ton of money an additional 2%. And for shits and giggles, we're talking about roughly 34,000 households out of 3.3 million in the city of New York getting just a 2% tax increase because they take home about 35% of all of the income earned by the people who live in the city of New York, which is probably why Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary under Obama, said, quote, profoundly alarmed about the future of the Dems and the country. Of course, if rich people are forced to by their mayor to pay their fair share, because what is this world coming to? And then there's the married to a millionaire Dem senator, Kristen Gillibrand, who thought a local interview was the perfect time to tell anyone listening that she was just another white woman with Islamophobia who uses the defense of the Jewish people as a cover for her white supremacist tendencies, while also showing her constituents that she's ready to be primaried. Because for this bish and many other Democrats, Mamdani is a threat to the wealthy, coupled with the fact that he's Muslim and supports Palestinians' right to exist.
Visit by a mayor of New York is always considered significant. Where would you go first, Mr. Mamdani?
I would stay in New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
Mr. Mamdani, can I just jump in? Would you visit Israel?
No,
as mayor?
I will be doing, as the mayor, I'll be standing up for Jewish New Yorkers, and I'll be meeting them wherever they are across the five boroughs, whether that's in their synagogues and temples or at their homes or at the subway platform, because ultimately we need to focus on delivering on their concerns.
And just as we've yes seen, or no, do you believe in a Jewish state of Israel?
I believe Israel has the right to exist.
Not
as a Jewish state?
Notice.
As a state with equal rights.
He won't, okay. He won't say it has state. A right to exist as a Jewish state, be very
and
clear.
And his answer was no, he won't visit Israel.
I said that.
That's what he was trying
you,
to say.
Unlike you, I answer questions very directly.
All right,
and I want to be
you
very
answered,
clear. I believe answered. Every state should be a state of equal rights.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mamdani.
Oh, my God. Wanting a government to recognize the equal rights of its citizens is apparently a bridge too far for elected officials receiving donor money from a government that is literally murdering people they don't like and bombing the fuck out of their homes so a waterside resort and high-end shopping can be built next to a port of commerce that will, of course, be replacing what is currently known as the Gaza Strip. You see, this is where the Venn diagram between Republicans and Democrats converges over the love of a foreign ethnostate who's been genociding Palestinians for the past 2 years over prime real estate, but pays out millions in campaign donations, so I don't know. And while we're on the subject of elected officials who have been in office so long they think they're entitled to the job, 128 Democrats did something they didn't actually have to in order to make a point no one asked them to make. I'm talking about joining the dark side against the good work of Al Green and AOC.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a leading Democrat right now, who is reacting strongly to the president's comments and saying, in effect, that his strikes today amount to grounds for impeachment.
And I think that the president of the United States admitting that he unilaterally brought the United States into a war without congressional approval is a very grave public admission. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Green, seek recognition?
H. Res. 537, impeaching Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. Donald J. Trump has abused the powers of the presidency, has become a threat to American democracy, subverted our constitutional government, and devolved democracy into authoritarianism. Wherefore, Donald J. Trump, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office.
Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. In opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for the yeas and nays.
On this vote, the yeas are 344, the nays are 79. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
That's right, dearies. 128 Democrats joined their Republican colleagues to table articles of impeachment against Crimes the Clown for bombing Iran on behalf of Israel. A vote House right-wingers had in the bag because they're the majority party in Congress. But for some reason, a shit ton of Dems thought they needed to make their disapproval of impeaching Bomber Don known. And while it's been said that impeaching Erikstad for attacking a country without first getting congressional approval isn't really that big of a deal because other presidents have done it, and anyone going against the Fanta fascist gets death threats as valid reasons for the 128 Dems voting to table impeachment, there are millions of voters like myself who don't give a fuck about any of that and are ready to vote these Dems out as soon as primary challengers show their faces in the midterms. Because
every time someone tries to win a war before it starts, innocent people die. Every time.
It's becoming quite clear to the rest of us that mine incompetent bombed Iran because Israel told them to, using the same old "they have a nuclear bomb and they'll have one in weeks" bullshit Israel has been saying for 30 years. And one of the most insulting parts of this Trump regime thought all Americans were just as poorly educated as their face and wouldn't notice the Pentagon's own intelligence report on the bombing of Iran's nuclear program doesn't say a fucking thing about total obliteration.
Three sources tell CNN that according to an early U.S. intelligence assessment, the U.S. military strikes on three of Iran's nuclear facilities last weekend did not destroy the core components of the country's nuclear program.
An assessment that actually is out from the Defense Intelligence Agency, that is the Pentagon's intelligence arm, and it was based on a battle damage assessment conducted by U.S. CENTCOM after the strikes.
Essentially looking at the images and looking at what was actually damaged, the Defense Intelligence Agency has assessed that the core components of Iran's nuclear program are largely intact and that Iran's nuclear program has essentially only been set back by months. Those underground facilities include including the centrifuges, including the highly enriched uranium that everyone has been talking so much about, those are largely intact. How much of an impact these massive bunker buster bombs would actually have on Iran's nuclear facilities? It was far from certain, given that these bombs had never been tested in an actual combat scenario, whether they would actually penetrate those very, very deep underground tunnels that lie underneath these nuclear facilities. White House Press Secretary Karen Levitt, she did acknowledge the existence of this assessment, but she said in a statement that the administration disagrees with it. She said, quote, "This alleged assessment is flat out wrong and was classified as top secret, but was still leaked to CNN by an anonymous low-level loser in the intelligence community."
This administration wants to ensure that classified intelligence is not ending up in irresponsible hands, and that people who have the privilege of viewing this top secret classified information are being responsible with it. Leaking top secret classified intelligence is a crime, and people need to be held accountable for that crime. I don't think this administration is going to get into the habit of sharing classified, top secret information. Those classifications exist for a reason.
Natasha Bertrand of CNN, who has done this in the past. And so this is a reporter who has been unfortunately used by people who dislike Donald Trump in this government to push fake and false narratives. She should be ashamed of herself. And that's not what reporting is. And this week, we saw this same reporter being used to push a fake narrative to try to undermine the president of the United States.
A fake narrative, you say? The Pentagon's initial assessment of the strike on Iran stated that not only didn't their nuclear program get obliterated, it was only set back a few months. And that was in part thanks to nepotism Napoleon threatening to bomb Iran on his pathetic excuse for a social media platform just days before it actually happened, giving them plenty of time to move their shit out of the way so the bombs didn't get it. And that's according to Israeli intelligence, France intelligence, and the fucking Pentagon's initial assessment. Oh, and then there's Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy's take.
Listen, to me it still appears that we have only set back the Iranian nuclear program by a handful of months. There's no doubt there was damage done to the program, but the allegations that we have obliterated their program just don't seem to stand up to reason. I just do not think the president was telling the truth when he said this program was obliterated. There's certainly damage done to the program, but there is the significant there's still significant remaining capability. I walk away from that briefing still under the belief that we have not obliterated the program. The president was deliberately misleading the public.
That's because the fake narrative is coming from inside the White House. For example, here's the lumbering lardass, Patron Keg Breath, and the Cuban anchor baby coming up with all sorts of stupid to discredit their own intelligence.
Well, the intelligence was very inconclusive. The intelligence says, we don't know. It could have been very severe. That's what the intelligence says. So I guess that's correct. But I think we can take the we don't know. It was very severe. It was obliteration. It was a complete obliteration.
First of all this stuff about the intelligence, this is what a leaker is telling you the intelligence says. That's the game these people play. They read it, and then they go out and characterize it the way they want it characterized. These leakers are professional stabbers. That's what they are. They go out, and they read this stuff, and then they tell you what it says against the law, but they characterize it for you in a way that's absolutely false.
We know this assessment by the Defense Intelligence Agency matches what the Israelis are also saying in their initial bomb assessment.
Hegseth said an FBI investigation is now underway to identify the people behind the leak.
Well, that's one way to distract the public from your power-grabbing failure and the fact that no one really knows how far Iran will go to get you back. What we do know is that they moved their uranium before the bombing took place. They've bombed a U.S. military base in Qatar and have threatened to do more. All because a 30-year-old fake Israeli narrative was believed by the dumbass in chief, backed by the DUI hire running the Pentagon, and the product of birthing tourism in charge of the U.S. State Department, who wants everyone to, you know, just forget the intelligence.
Here's what the whole world knows. Forget about intelligence.
Are you saying there that the United States did not see intelligence that the Supreme Leader had ordered weaponization?
That's irrelevant. I see that question being asked in the media. That's an irrelevant question.
No,
they have
that
everything
is the
they
key
need
point
to build
in U.S. intelligence assessments. You know
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's
that
not.
The political decision
no,
had
well,
not been made.
Well, I know that better than you know that, and I know that that's not the case.
But
you
I'm
know,
asking you whether the order was
about.
Given.
And the people who say that, it doesn't matter if the order was given.
Yeah, it fucking does. The Trump regime's entire premise for starting a fight with Iran is that, according to the intelligence, they had a nuke, or hundreds of them if you ask the nutbag in charge of Israel. Either way, Iran's invisible arsenal of nukes was the reason for bombing, and it turns out they don't even have one nuke, and they didn't call for strikes against the United States. Until we bomb them, of course. So it does matter. What doesn't matter is how many times Jin Diesel repeats the lie that Iran was a nuclear threat to the United States when we bombed them, because it's now, unfortunately, a self-serving prophecy. And that's all thanks to the vice couch fucker who said this with his whole chest about the reason, the real reason why old Yamtits just bombed Iran.
Democratic Senator Mark Warner, the vice chair of the Intelligence Committee, said he was briefed on Monday that, quote, the intelligence hasn't changed. So why launch this strike now? Did the president say go based on U.S. intelligence or Israeli intelligence?
We had a narrow window of opportunity. By mid-May, the president's senior team looked at ourselves and said, the Iranians are not being serious. They're no longer actually responding to some of the offers that we're making. That was the real catalyst, I think, to what the president ultimately decided to do. If we were having a productive negotiation, I think that this could have gone in a much different pathway. Unfortunately, the Iranians decided to stonewall us, and we saw the consequences of that. I certainly empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East. I understand the concern, but the difference is that back then we had dumb presidents, and now we have a president who actually knows how to accomplish America's national security objectives.
So that quip didn't land like Vice Mascara thought it did, since it did just expose this Garbage Pail Kid's terrible math skills and concerning inability to remember that his boss was president from 2016 to 2020, putting him in with those dumb presidents previously mentioned. But the best part of Captain Cushion's moment of honesty was that part where he admits the orange-covered carnival barker decided to hit Iran because they wouldn't sign over their rights to precious and rare minerals found in their country. For example, Iran just found 7,000 tons of antimony, a rare mineral used for such things like military hardware, semiconductors, and even sensitive military weapons like the Advanced Plasma Weapon System, whatever the fuck that is. All I know is the tiny-handed grifter wanted to have control over the awesomely new and huge find of antimony for obvious reasons. But then there's the $30 billion taxpayer-funded offer to build a nuclear program for Iran with the expectation that the United States could just come and go as they please in Iran because no generous gift is given without a future expectation of service to the taco occupying the White House. So now you know why Ronald Grump had to bomb Iran. I mean, between Iran having all that rare mineral the U.S. military needs so badly and refusing to be indebted to the Trump regime for building them a nuclear program when they already had one, any poorly educated maggot could tell you.
This is some bullshit.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.